Since the beginning of time, man battles questions as to how to survive this crazy world we live in, and only God has the answers to all men's questions. Come travel the roads that leads us to the cross.
Today we look at scriptures to help us establish the foundation of our belief and to answer man's questions about God, who he is, what he's like, and gives us some solid keys to open the door of growing in grace and knowledge. And remember, growing is not an overnight case. It is a lifetime of continually appropriating what it is for God the Father, Jesus Christ the Son, and the Holy Spirit to be our final authority in all things for the purpose of why we are living in this day and age. We were not born into this time accidental. God had each one of us planned for unique purposes and fulfillments for his honor and glory, for his eternal family, of which we have been called into by his grace. It is a gift, a free gift of the Lord Jesus Christ, that we then appropriate by his faith, working through our faith, so that we may be one together forever. And we praise him for his fullness and sufficiency. God bless. As we grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, we need to have goals that we are desiring to fulfill by his grace and his faithfulness. As we move forward into the maturity of where God is bringing us. So the goal for today is that in searching the scriptures, we gain understanding on how to apply the Word of God daily. Now, why do we do this? Well, we need to wake up the saints to the use and the misuse of scripture when problem solving. And there's some reasons for this. There are some purpose points, we might say, because there are millions and millions of people on planet Earth, and each has a set of problems that are uniquely their own. So how in the world do we find a reliable source that can unravel the perplexities of life? Well, there's hope. For the family of God, we have the scriptures to guide us in calming and instructing us in living in the power of the Spirit when battling the cares and the affairs found in this world. Now, however, the unbeliever who refuses to accept the offer of salvation through the complete and finished work of the cross via Jesus Christ has no hope for rest here. And after life has ended, it is gloom and doom in eternity without Christ. But God has offered life-giving change to all that will depend on his way. What is being shared today is doubly important to those that not as yet are in the family of God for life, so that they can have rest and peace that we all long for. But this is found only in the person of Jesus Christ and his life and death, resurrection and ascension, to live right now in heaven, interceding for us moment by moment. We do have a problem solver guide
and that's the Word of God. So let's taste and see how the Word of God offers solutions for what troubles us. And I'd like to turn today to Hebrews 4 as the great place to begin as we have this passage in discussing what is true rest. In Hebrews 4, verses 11 and 12, it says, "Let us be diligent to enter the rest, lest anyone fall according to disobedience. For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart." Do we realize the heart thinks? The Bible is the strongest weapon we have for living in power, as it answers and solves. It pierces the heart. It convicts the soul. It brings the spirit into accountability of its life decisions via our will. When people are overcome with issues that hurt, perplex, anger, discourage, and eventually bring defeat, will be combined many times with sickness of physical, mental, emotional turmoil. A person can simply get paralyzed in trying to function day by day. They can also suffer fatigue and listlessness and even battle depression because of the inability to know how to overcome the hurts and the perplexities. Now, options are options that the world offers would be psychotherapy, rehabilitation therapy, change your family status, including divorce, escape through temporal pleasures, anything that feels good and detracts from the pain, double standards to endure bad circumstances, such as we procrastinate, we escape through drugs, we escape through social media, or searching man's teaching about earthly wisdom, and so many other ways that do not bring healing or permanent relief. Even health methods of diet, exercise, or sometimes surgical procedures to help change the body. Some really may offer a temporal release, but none find a complete lasting rest with peace. Now, the Bible gives us the best definition and explanation of what is soul and spirit, how they differ, and how they blend together as we seek to understand the results of not having rest. Now, the soul is the life principle that communicates with others and God. The soul is the seat of our emotions and our desires. The capacity for spiritual yearning and has an eternal nature and in need of salvation to know true lasting rest. That's the soul. The Spirit of God must be worshiped as creator of all. It will inspire us, empower us, guide, and sanctifies us. God the Father, Jesus Christ's Son, God the Holy Spirit. That is where we describe the three in one, the Trinity. Our spirit must attain life through salvation, or true rest will never come into our hearts. We need to know who God is as He expresses to us in three people one God, but in three different functions, as three different people, but one God. Yes, I know that's not easy to grab a hold of, and that's why we need to be students of the Scripture in finding our true rest. But let's continue on now with just exactly some practical illustrations about our passage. So our passage talked about joints and marrow, and that refers to the connection between the bones, the structural, and the functional aspect of the body. It's the visible, tangible elements of the human existence, whereas the marrow typifies the soft tissue, the innermost life-sustaining parts of a person. God's Word can reach the most hidden and vital areas of the human life, like a surgeon's scalpel that can separate and discern with precision. Now, the Bible is quick to discern the thoughts and the intents. Is our heart hardened? Do we sense evil due to unbelief? Do we have a heart that wanders and that will not yield until brought under the microscope of the mind, love, and character of God that created man in the first place? Many times for God to get our attention, there is a breaking. It's for a making. Nevertheless, there is a lot of breaking that goes into this procedure. Now, following up in verse 13, we are still in Hebrews 4. And there is no creature hidden from his sight. All things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give an account. Why in the world do we think we can hide something from God? He created us. He knows every cell in our body. He knows every way the DNA, the RNA has been built for us to function. Why do we try to hide secret things from him, thinking that he just won't see? Or even being more belligerent, saying he just doesn't understand? Well, there's coming a day when each person will give an account of their choices, their beliefs. Jesus Christ, in his tender love and compassion, is calling each one now to realize he is interceding for each one of us before the throne of his Father, Almighty God. God is creating his eternal family to live with him forever, and death will have no part in heaven and the new earth. So salvation is vital and needed to have rest in our soul and spirit to be a part of his family. So when our soul and spirit is troubled, rather than getting angry or looking for escape, then we need to recognize this is a love call for us to have eternal life forever and ever in a place of perfect rest. Now, in verse 7 of Hebrews 4, it says, "Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts, for a person who has entered God's rest has himself also ceased from his own works as God did from his." So let's come boldly before the throne of grace that we might find mercy and find grace to help in time of need, resting in all that has already been given to us and done for us. How do we enter into this rest? Is it possible? Or is it just fantasy? Is it just spiritual high-sounding words with no practicalness? Never, never, never. The Bible is to be applied. So we're going to go to Philippians 4 today. Here is a key ingredient. "Rejoice in the Lord always." And again, I say rejoice. You've got to be kidding. I'm miserable, and you want me to rejoice? You want me to have joy? Well, exhausted effort brings home the necessity of strengthening rest. I'll say that again. Our exhaustive efforts bring home the necessity of strengthening rest. Believers will not be ready to enter into their spiritual rest until they're utterly worn out by unsuccessful efforts to conquer sin and the old man. That has been done at the cross. There is no rest for the wretched person if walking in their own lifestyle outlined in Romans 7. That struggle must lead us to the rest of Romans 8. Now, you can be a believer. I'm not questioning you not being a believer at this point, because it's impossible to rejoice in the Lord unless you know the Lord and you're trusting the Lord. But we have a struggle, and if we do not go through the struggle, as it says in Romans 7, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me? And we have to read straight on into Romans 8 when it tells us that we have deliverance by the Spirit. So put those verses into your study bag, Romans 6, 7, and 8. Grace is available in all circumstances, but easy casual living as a priority is by far the most trying spiritually to the believer. Why? Because always trying rather than trusting will never bring rest. And there is nothing more sad than a Christian going on day by day apart from dependence upon the Lord. Someone recently said, soon as I get my act together, I'm going to get back to church. I said, I'll probably never see you, because you probably will never get your act to the rest that you want. You'll just keep cycling and cycling, like going around on a merry-go-round. So if circumstances come between our hearts and God, we are separate from the enjoyment of being in that family, and we're powerless. If the Lord Jesus is near and in our hearts, there is a place of quiet rest near to the heart of God. Circumstances will not hinder our joy and rest in God when our heart is leaning dependent upon Him. Now, can times be difficult? Absolutely. Can times be perplexing? Absolutely. But the heart of a person naturally seeks rest and seeks it here. Psalms 37:7 says, rest in the Lord and wait patiently, patiently, patiently for Him. Our souls, our minds, our wills, and emotions can fret greatly, even as believers who are hoping for ease and comfort in our lifestyle here. Waiting does not naturally promote rest. But here is a verse that needs to be hid in our hearts. Luke 21:19. By and through your patience, possess your souls. Own and control your souls, your mind, your will, your emotions. God has given you His provisions to not let them run away wild, like a runaway bride that doesn't want to show up at the wedding, but that we can rest in Him as He works and teaches us wisdom and understanding. As we live, serve, and wait, we are blessed with a divine reality for being in those two most important words, in Christ, that gives us rest of heart, whatever the circumstance. Since we choose to believe the gift of rest is available 24/7, why are so many true believers slipping up and down like a wild ride on a roller coaster? Ignoring the temple, our bodies. Daily demands will usually have daily deadlines, and we have to capture our minds according to 2 Corinthians 10:5 for a daily rest. When push and pulling are calling from within and without from others, we need to immediately return our soul to a place of quiet rest, trusting that time eternal, God, will provide the solution. It's very easy to take back control, to do all in our time, not His. It's very easy to say, Lord, I trust you, and now I'm going to try to fix this out myself. And then we fail, and then we become discouraged, defeated, disillusioned, and we cycle again, when all has already been provided for us for perfect rest. So change focus as soon as frustrations, fear of failure arise, no matter how small. Someone talking to me the other day just said, I can't do this. I know I'm procrastinating. And by the way, procrastination is subtle rebellion, but that lesson's for another day. And they said, I said, why are you procrastinating? Because I have fears of the bad memories if I try to take care of the problem that I'm supposed to be taking care of now. Quiet rest. Always refresh your memory each morning with the purpose and the plan for why you are living. There's 1,001 issues to pull us from our purpose according to the mind of God. But let's don't go with our impressions. We can't fix anything apart from what Jesus Christ said in John 15. If you abide in me and I abide in you, then all things are possible. But it is that abiding, and that abiding denotes a quiet rest. Within the family of God, sincere caring for those who still live outside the family, exercising knowledge in all faith but lacking in love, doing good works and ministering to the poor and needy, performing great and mighty works, and even understanding great mysteries of God, profits us nothing. And even sometimes living a life of a martyr, if love is not within our hearts. 1 Corinthians is the chapter, the love chapter, of perfect rest. Thank God, and thank you, Father, for setting the bar on what your love is and what it looks like in everyday rest, and giving your love to us. God is love. Pursue love, and you will be pursuing God. He's waiting, He's listening, He's ready. Now, in closing, now unto Him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, dominion, power, both now and forever. Amen.
You have been listening to Crossroads with Janie Ratzlaff. For more resources, go to sharedhearts.org/crossroads.